On the show today, we have Mid-Hudson Valley Credit Union's very own Michael Matone talking about the credit union's response to COVID-19 pandemic and what other credit unions should be and could be doing as the virus continues to change the way we do business. Great stuff here from Mike, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Mr. Michael Matone from Mid-Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union. Woo, that's a long name, but welcome to the show anyway.
Yes, it is. Well, you can include my title too, VP of Community Impact.
And, I was going to mention that.
Becomes even longer. So, I really appreciate it. Enjoy being here. Hello to everyone.
Yeah.
All the watchers to see you broadcast. And always great to talk to you, Mike.
Thank you so much, Michael. And the feeling's likewise. And I was going to bring up your VP of Community Impact title a little bit later because of what's going on in your community and how you guys are involved, especially you, because, I mean, there's a great impact this virus has had on your community. So I was going to kind of bring the two together.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, having said that, how are things in New York these days? Because you guys are like the top story almost every night of what's going on. So how are things going there right now?
Yeah, it is probably what you can imagine, and then just take that exponential curve up all the way to the top. Just so much uncertainty. There's so much information going around. There are so many stories that you hear anecdotally and statistics that you're digesting. It is just an unprecedented time. And being here, you know, our headquarters in Kingston's about 95 miles north of, you know, Times Square.
Yeah.
We serve seven counties as close to the Bronx. So we're in Westchester and Rockland, which are both north of the Bronx, and both of those have more than 10,000 cases right now. So 195,000 cases in New York State as a whole. And it is really, really something that, you know, it's difficult to explain because none of us have really ever lived through this before.
Yeah.
So it's just day by day taking on new challenges as they come.
Yeah, I've been reading your governor has obviously been really on top of this and been in the news and all that type of stuff every day. And it sounds like you guys have reached your peak possibly, or you're close to it. And then you might be kind of on the downside of this in your area, I'm hoping. So,
yeah, that's our hope. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's MHV's concern is, you know, the safety and wellness of everyone who we deal with, our employees, our members, our community.
Yeah.
And I think New York has kind of taken that the same way and kind of take it slow and say, look, we really just need to look for the safety and health and well-being of every one of the residents in New York State. And then, you know, take that down to the essential employees, your first responders, healthcare workers, and make sure, you know, even if we're kind of coming down from a peak, you know, everyone is staying safe and
still
doing
serious.
Things smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you don't have those second spikes and third spikes and all this stuff that you're kind of hearing about in the news. But, you know, just focusing on the health and well-being of the entire population. As long as we do that, we'll be able to get through this.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Okay, speaking of your credit union, so what are you guys doing to help your members and help employees obviously stay safe, not only health-wise, but stay safe financial-wise as well? What are you guys doing in this area? We can start with your members
and that's who we are. Yeah, and that's our mission. Our mission is to be with our members throughout their financial journey. And this is a really, really rough patch in that journey for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our team recognized quickly that we needed to be on top of this and do as much as we can. Continually communicate, I think, was the most important thing internally. We provided communication internally to our staff daily with everything that we're doing, meeting as a senior management team virtually, but regularly, to go over all our new developments and then really push it out to employees. We wanted to make sure that they felt, one, safe, and two, informed. So our branches are now by appointment only. We have our drive-ups, which is all tubes. And then we have our personal tellers. So we have the ATMs that have a video screen with ITM teller.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're still running 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our IT team, led by Rob Mills, they've been fantastic in deploying people remotely wherever we can, making sure everyone is secure on the IT side and secure on the health side without disrupting service too much. We take more than 1,200 calls a day right now. Our wait times remain under a minute.
Wow, yeah, you guys.
Yeah, we were able to redeploy staff, you know, to really fill out our PTs and our call center. And then we've taken over 3,000 loan hardship requests. We've been turning those around pretty quickly as well. We are participating in the PPP program. We're already at 300 applications.
Oh, nice.
And I know yeah, it's great. We've got our first loans closed on Friday. So we're just doing everything that we can to make the member experience as, you know, efficient and as comfortable as possible, mm-hmm. while making sure our employees remain as safe as possible. And then people who need help, you know, we're doing whatever we can to help them. Mm-hmm. We haven't really blanketed a, you know, every single person's going to get X, because this is so unprecedented, so yeah. unique. Yeah, so we wanted our assistance to our members to be unique to their story and their journey and what they need. So that's kind of what we got out of this, was we didn't want to put any square pegs into round holes with the ways that we're helping our mm-hmm. members. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that it was unique to their needs.
Can you, I want to move back to the PPP process, the Payment yeah. Protection Plan. How does that process work exactly? I mean, just real quickly here, because I think there's still a lot of people are like, how does it, I mean, I love the notion of it, but how does it work? I mean, so how does that, is it all online type of process, or how does that whole thing work for members?
Well, who's listening? Because I want to make sure I answer this correctly.
Everybody, no, Mike.
In all seriousness, it's been like a lot of other things where it's been really, really difficult to figure out the best way to do it in such a small amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
With getting limited information piece by piece. Yeah. But yeah, once we were able to kind of get in the swing of things and get it moving to a point where we were comfortable, we're taking all the applications, whether it be over the phone or online, getting all the documentation from the members. Mm-hmm. We're currently only doing it with our current business members, just okay. because of the demand yeah. and the finite amount of money tied to the program.
Right.
Figuring out, you know, getting us on the SBA site. We were already an approved 7A lender, but, you know, I know like some other credit unions, you know, folks are having some issues with getting on and getting everything squared away with, right. with the registrations. But it was just a process that, you know, we had to, you know, overcome as a challenge. And mm-hmm. once we did it, you know, we're really getting into a groove,
cool.
deploying more staff to help with the volumes. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's, you wish that there was a little more communication from all levels, you know, getting the legislation out first and then getting the guidance out afterwards.
Correct.
Without a lot of feedback and back and forth from us. But understanding the uniqueness of the situation, we've been able to kind of take it on pretty well. I mean, I've heard a lot of credit unions that are having, you know, much more difficulty with it. The big banks are having a real tough time with this and really not serving their folks. I saw yesterday on CNBC, there was someone out in Utah who said they went to their credit union and had a great experience.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, their, you know, other businesses they mm-hmm. heard were having real tough times mm-hmm. with big banks. So, you know, as our role as financial first responders, as CUNA has put out, which yeah. I absolutely love.
Yeah, I do too.
It's just one of those things that it hasn't been the easiest process, but, you know, we're figuring it out.
Yeah, and I think like what you said, we're all obviously, and it's been sent over and over again, we're all in uncharted waters here, uncharted territory. So this goes along with it. I mean, this is something brand new that was put together in basically a couple of weeks. And kudos to the folks that put it together. I mean, the intention is awesome, just the right. execution. And I think it'll get better. Like you said, I mean, you guys have gotten the swing of it now, and now you've kinda found a groove, and you're just going to roll with it. So, and it's there. Yeah. And so,
no, yeah. definitely. And we're sharing our data, and we're sharing all our information with the New York Credit Union Association, with CUNA, with NAFQ, so that, you know, should we get into these conversations with phase four legislation, and is there additional funding that goes to this program?
Yeah.
You know, we hope that they kind of listen to some things that, hey, you know, these are the pain points that we had throughout mm-hmm. this process. Here are the things that worked really yeah. well. So if we're going to put more money into this program, which is, like you said, great program, great yeah. intent, let's do it with more operational efficiency so we can help more small businesses yeah. get to the point that they need to get to.
Yep, you learn along the way for sure. Hey, speaking of your employees, what are you guys doing for your employees that you guys are helping them? I've heard people staggering hours and credit unions buying lunch for their staff that are in there. Not only just as a nice thing to do, but it keeps them from going out and getting lunch and possibly bringing the virus back. So I thought that was really, really cool. What are some things that you guys are doing for your employees?
Yeah, so like I said, one of the things that we did was, you know, working with our IT team, it was essentially, if we can figure out a way where someone can work securely and remotely from both from the IT perspective mm-hmm. and from the, you know, personal perspective, we've done that.
Yeah.
So a majority of our staff has kind of been deployed to work remotely, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, providing our staff with all the resources they need if they do have to come into the building to make sure that they're safe, they're secure, We talked about doing some staggering in terms of hours and things of that nature. At our main location, we do have two entrances, so we've kind of split the entrances based on floor.
Okay.
And then put together, you know, areas, you know, different lounge or big rooms for the different areas so that, you know, there's limited contact and limited interaction with all our folks.
Okay.
It was kind of odd with our folks that are 8 to 8 on the personal tellers. We have to provide them with documentation in the event that they got pulled over because of curfews. Which was new.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and just providing whatever resources that they need. Our HR team has been fantastic with continually communicating with our employees. You know, whatever you guys need, please let us know, and we'll help you in any way that we can. So we're really doing everything we can with them. And again, communication to them every day on every single thing we're doing to help them and help our members has been key.
Wow. And you mentioned curfews. So that's something that a lot of the country hasn't had to deal with, but you guys have, right?
Yep. Yeah. And it's different because the different municipalities are treating things differently and they're enforcing things differently. So, you know, it's just kind of understanding, you know, how each situation kind of looks for each municipality, which one is enforcing an 8 o'clock curfew more strictly, which one is kind of looking more at the, you know, who's going out there and not wearing a mask.
Right.
And, you know, it's just kind of really figuring out all those little things. And that's what's great with the continued communication is employees will give us the feedback and say, hey, you know, I've heard that, you know, this jurisdiction is looking at it from this perspective versus that perspective.
Gotcha. And you guys can make adjustments from there. Yeah.
Allows us to serve them more effectively.
Right on. Precisely, sir. So what behaviors have you seen how has the behavior changed in the last 3 or 4 weeks or so since this whole thing started to now? Because I remember like in the beginning, it was like remote deposit capture, skip a pay. How have we evolved since then?
Yeah, so the digital adoption has still been going on. It happened early on with RDC. You know, we processed, I think, more than 10 million in RDC checks since this all started. And we've also seen folks, you know, because there was that early time where we're like, all right, we better have enough cash because we don't want to run out of cash, you know, because you don't want people to say, oh, there's going to be a run on the credit union, things of that nature. But, you know, we've managed our cash very well. You haven't seen people coming in as much that's, you know, feel that they have to take all their money and put it under the mattress because the sky's falling, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I think member behavior has just kind of been more of, do I really absolutely need to have that physical interaction with someone to do my banking? If not, let me utilize all the other channels that are available so I remain safe and the staff remains safe. And, you know, continuing to let our members know that we offer these types of things. Luckily in New York State, we got remote notary approved.
Yeah,
for the pandemic. So we started remote notarization.
Awesome.
That was one of the big things that we were seeing appointments for. So right away, we kind of turned to our retail team and our IT department to figure out the best way to handle that, which was very helpful. But yeah, we've definitely seen members more cognizant of, do I absolutely need to go physically to the location?
That's great.
And if not, how can I do it in a way that keeps everyone safe? So it's, you know, fortunately, we were well equipped to serve our folks through our digital channels. And my assumption is, you know, even after this is well over, that's going to continue because I think people kind of see the convenience factor of it and the safety factor of it as well.
Yeah, that was my next question was like, how do you see this crisis kind of changing our behaviors moving forward? Once we get on the downside of this thing and post virus crisis, how do you see, I mean, do you see a lot of this sticking basically?
I do.
Especially the digital aspect of it.
Yeah, I think I would have to look more into our data in terms of the demographics to kind of see the different populations of people who are adopting more frequently and things of that nature. But I do think from a larger scale, you know, 50,000 foot view, it is going to change the way that people bank and people interact with MHV. Because I think now they've been exposed to the different options and avenues that we offer them. And they'll really look at it from a convenience perspective. And I think in the long run, I even think from, you know, you're probably going to have more people working remotely and you're going to have more people doing things in a different way that, you know, keep in mind the fact that, you know, it's not just from a sickness perspective, but when you're out there and you're doing different things in the world, you're not just affecting yourself. You're affecting so many other people in a way that you might not comprehend. I think people are going to be more cognizant of that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, on the other side of this, we come out stronger, wiser, and I think we just come out kinder.
Yeah.
And that's really what, you know, our hope is at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love how you described how a lot of folks are that selfless thinking. It's like, hey, you know what? Let's take advantage of the technology here so I don't have to expose myself or expose other people, that type of stuff.
Right.
So that's really cool to see. So good stuff, sir. Michael, anything else here to add to wrap up here? Because I know you got a lot going on there, so I want to be respectful of your time. But what else do you have to add here to wrap up?
Yeah, no, I just think that, you know, it's really making sure that people understand that, you know, the most important asset throughout all this is the people, and that's the employees, the members of the community. We actually today, one of the things that I'm doing is reaching out to some local food banks and organizations helping food insecurity. MHV is going to be giving $30,000 to different organizations throughout the Hudson Valley.
For you guys.
It's crazy. We've heard from our employees, like, you know, they have an elderly friend or neighbor who can't even go out and grocery shop.
Mm-hmm.
So food insecurity is shot way up. So we're really proud to do that. And I think for all the credit unions that might not have seen this in their state in the way that we've seen it in New York and the Hudson Valley, just be prepared for every scenario when it comes to operations, communications, the whole nine. And then really just think about, you know, how do you want to be seen when this ends? You know, were you the institution that, you know, was forward thinking, that, you know, took every precaution, was prepared for every scenario,
yep,
focused on the safety and well-being of employees, members in the community, and, you know, really took on that onus of we're the financial first responder.
Mm-hmm.
We're so proud to have done that as best as we can. And, you know, if we didn't do everything perfect, you know, nobody's perfect.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's as long as everyone, you know, hopefully this does not hit other places in the way that it hit New York. I just hope and pray, and with family and friends in the medical community. And it's just something that you don't want to see.
Yeah.
But if it does, just, you know, go out there with the right intent and remember the purpose of credit union, mm-hmm, which is people helping people. And you do that, we'll get through this together.
I agree. And we'll come out stronger on the end, as they're saying. Good stuff, sir.
Right.
All right, sir. Well, keep up the good fight there, and stay healthy, stay safe, you and your family. And then we'll talk, you know, probably a few weeks down the line here and see how things are going.
Yeah, definitely would be happy to update you as we get further along on this. And thank you for all the great stuff that you're doing. It's folks like you that are allowing people to kind of share messages and share information. It's going to make everyone better in terms of how they handle this. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
As an essential member of the credit union media.
Well, we're just among the great messengers out there. All the industry publications are doing an incredible job getting the message out. So kudos
to
everybody.
That's what's great about credit unions. No fake news.
No fake news, man. We're all real here. It's all real, man.
That's right.
All right, Mike. Thanks again. Appreciate the time. Again, stay safe and stay healthy. All right.
Thanks. You too, Mike. To you and your family.